This is the official Ghent competition text. This is the shorthand and speech recognition competition held in Ghent. Competition text begins. It is clear that our economic activities require lots of natural resources. The presumption that we have to make a choice between preserving the environment and developing the economy is actually misleading. In the long term, economic and social development necessitates sustainable management of natural resources. Our current economic models fail to account for many of the benefits a healthy environment provides us. Gross domestic product is the economic indicator most commonly used to convey a country's level of development, standard of living, and status relative to other countries. It is based on the value of economic output. It does not include the price we pay for the side effects of economic activity, such as air pollution. On the contrary, the health services provided to those suffering from respiratory diseases is included as a positive contribution to gross domestic product. The challenge is to find out how we can redesign our economic models so that in the future we can generate growth and improve the quality of life across the world without damaging the environment, while also protecting the interests of future generations. The solution has been termed the green economy. Although the green economy seems like a simple concept, translating the idea into reality is much more complicated. It is important to ensure long-term sustainability in all our domains of wealth creation. Changing the way we live, produce, and consume actually opens a new world of opportunities. There is, however, no single solution that will help us make a quick transition or one that fits all. Also, timing plays a crucial role. Today, we need solutions that address the environmental problems at hand with today's technology. At the same time, we have to bear in mind that our policies and business decisions will have to be continuously improved. There are many solutions already there, and many more are on the way. Ultimately, it will be a question of policy, business, and consumer choices. Sustainable development means many things to many people. One definition describes it as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. There is no quick and easy route to sustainability. The transition requires a collective effort from policymakers, businesses, and citizens alike. In some instances, policymakers need to provide support for environment-friendly businesses. In other cases, consumers may have to bear extra costs linked to more sustainable production processes. Consumers may also have to become more demanding towards the manufacturers of their favorite brands or choose more sustainable products. Firms may have to develop clean production processes and export products globally. The complexity of our global decision-making structures mirrors the complexity we find in the environment. It is difficult to strike the right balance between legislation, private sector initiatives, and consumer choices. It is equally difficult to find the right level to target. A quarter of all the inhabitants lack access to safe drinking water. In this context, the huge increase in cotton production in recent years looks risky. Cotton is a crop that needs a lot of water. It requires irrigation during drier months and consumes much more water than other widely cultivated crops. Cultivating cotton normally involves heavy use of pesticides. Indeed, cotton accounts for a remarkable amount of world pesticide use. The impacts can be severe for local people and nature. Since the individuals applying the pesticides don't feel all these effects and may not even be aware of them all, they will not consider them fully in their decision-making. For this reason, it can be important to educate and inform local growers about pesticides and their effects. Water is not the only natural resource being used in cotton cultivation. Another crucial resource is land. We may ask whether the local growers benefit most from converting land to cotton production. If society as a whole were deciding how to use the land and could make its decision based on a full assessment of the costs and benefits of the different options, it would probably not exhaust all the land and water just for cotton production. This difference between the benefits and costs facing individuals and those facing society is a crucial issue. Whereas the farmer can capture the full gain of selling the cotton, he or she usually doesn't bear all the costs. The expense of purchasing pesticides, for example, is often dwarfed by the health impacts of pesticide use. So costs are passed on to other people, including future generations. Problems arise because, much like the rest of us, the farmer is making most decisions based on his own self-interest. This distortion is passed on via global markets. The prices paid by traders, manufacturers, and ultimately consumers misrepresent the cost and benefits involved in using natural resources and producing goods. This is a serious problem. In most of the world, markets and prices are used to guide our decision-making. So, if prices give us a misleading picture of the impacts of production and consumption, then we shall make bad decisions. History tells us that markets can be a very effective mechanism to guide our decisions about natural resource use and production and maximize prosperity. Because the prices are wrong, markets fail to perform this task. Most of the world's cotton farmers live in the developing world. That means that the pesticides are applied in fields where illiteracy is high and safety awareness is low. This certainly has put both the environment and lives at risk. To some extent, governments can take steps to correct market failures. They can impose regulations and taxes on using water and pesticides so that farmers use them less or find less harmful alternatives. Conversely, they can organize payments to forest owners. Thereby, they can provide an alternative source of revenues. The key lies in aligning the incentives of the individual with those of society as a whole. It's also important to provide information to consumers to complement the information carried in prices. In many countries, we see ever more labels informing us about how goods are produced. Many consumers would be willing to pay more or consume less if they understood the impacts of our choices. In some instances, governments need to go beyond correcting the market and actually constrain the role of the market in allocating natural resources. Indeed, many would argue that people have a right to sufficient water for drinking, food, and a healthy environment. Governments, therefore, have a duty to ensure that their needs are met in the first instance. Globally, efforts are underway to constrain open markets while exploiting their many benefits. Right now, however, market prices often give misleading information, as a result of which producers and consumers make bad choices. But continuing to produce cotton does not have to mean continuing to use water and pesticide-intensive production techniques. It also does not have to mean continuing to reduce forest areas. Alternative methods, such as organic cotton production, can lower water use and exclude pesticide use altogether. The direct costs of cultivating organic cotton are greater, meaning that the prices that consumers face for cotton products are higher. The increased costs are, however, more than offset by the reduction in indirect costs imposed on cotton growers and their communities. Ultimately, consumers have the power to decide. Just as policymakers can guide our consumption by influencing prices, consumers can send signals to producers by demanding sustainably grown cotton. It is a point worth reflecting on the next time you go to buy a pair of cotton trousers. Many different reasons can motivate a multinational company to adopt more sustainable practices. Sustainability can be demanded by the company's investors, who might shy away from putting their money into companies not addressing the risks of environmental change. We do not see any conflict between growth and sustainability. More and more consumers actually demand this. Adopting sustainable practices might make business sense. Companies might gain a competitive edge and increase their market share. It could also mean new business opportunities. Sustainability, however, also implies cost savings. Water is a vital resource. It sustains us, connects us, and helps us to thrive. Our societies could not survive without fresh water. We depend on it not only for growing our food, but also for producing almost all the other goods and services we enjoy. Water is just one of the resources under increasing pressure. There are many more environmental problems, from air quality to land availability, that have been seriously affected by key developments such as growing populations, economies, and consumption. Although we do not have the complete picture, what we know about the environment urges us to rethink the way we use and manage our resources. This rethinking, that we may call the green economy, could involve fundamentally changing the way we live, consume, and deal with our waste. It changes our entire relationship with the Earth. A key element of the green economy is the efficient management of the natural resources on Earth. Governance of water management should be flexible and public. Also, investments are needed. The involvement of people at the local level is essential. Water certainly connects, both globally and locally, our problems and our solutions. Dealing with more water at certain times flowing across international borders or higher sea levels obviously involve international action. We are part of an international network. We see from our shared experiences that if water is not in the news every day, our job becomes more difficult. Lots of strategy at a high level, but very little understanding on the ground, has been a major issue for developing countries. Governance and the functional decentralized approach can take many forms, and that is what makes it work. However, we just have to engage the people again and explain to them that there is a risk and we need them to stay involved. The biggest challenge is overexploitation of natural resources. Human consumption goes beyond the natural boundaries of the Earth. Our way of life is simply not sustainable. The world population is increasing. Consequently, our second challenge is to find ways to feed our growing population when we already face scarcity of many resources. To address these challenges, we have to adjust the fundamentals of our economy. For instance, our economies do not put an economic value on a large number of benefits we receive for free. The value of a forest is taken into account when it is turned into timber, but not when it is kept intact. The value of natural resources should somehow be reflected in the economy. We are working towards that. I think we are very close to finding ways to include the full value of natural resources in the economy. But more importantly, three drivers are forcing industry to become much more resource efficient. The first is scarcity of natural resources. We are actually observing what I call a green industrial revolution. Resource scarcity forces companies to set up processes for resource recovery and reuse natural resources. Consumer pressure is another driver. Look at advertisements. Big car manufacturers don't just talk about speed anymore, but about environmental performance. Moreover, people are much more conscious about the image of the company they are working for. A third driver is legislation. We continuously need to improve environmental legislation because not everything can be achieved through market pressures, resource scarcity, and consumer pressure. The most important factor determining consumer choices is definitely price. For large segments of society, it is a luxury to choose for any reason other than price. But it is still possible to choose to consume seasonal and local food products or fresh products. Often they are even cheaper. There are clear health benefits for clients and for society as a whole. Choosing a more sustainable option depends on people's awareness of their impact on the environment. Moreover, if there is no public transportation available, we cannot expect people to stop driving to work. If we can't explain the value of certain rules or laws, it would be almost impossible to enforce them. We need to involve the people and convince them. I believe we are shifting away from this confrontation between the developed and the developing countries. Because of their higher economic dependence on natural resources, many developing countries will be among the first ones to be affected by global resource scarcity. If many of them would be convinced to adapt more sustainable practices, I will consider it a big success. The green economy concept is not only relevant to developed countries. It actually foresees a larger perspective. At the moment, many developing countries are selling their natural resources at very low prices. Short-term prospects are tempting, but they could also mean the countries are selling off future welfare as well as growth. I think, however, this policy is changing. Governments are becoming more concerned about the long-term implications of resource exports. Industry in many developing countries has also started investing in sustainability. Like their counterparts in the developed world, they face natural resource scarcity. This is a very strong financial incentive for companies all over the world. For my part, I think we could help developing countries by opening our agricultural markets and enabling these countries to generate more added value. At the moment, foreign companies come to developing countries and extract their resources, whereas there is very little economic input from the local people. Agriculture in general is crucial. If we look ahead at the challenges linked to global food production, it is clear that we need more food. This requires increasing production efficiency in developing countries. Increased agricultural output in developing countries could also reduce their food imports.